This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Franchise Hockey Manager 4, just announced. You can pre-order it today and get 10% off and get it 4 days early. Franchise Hockey Manager 4 is the definitive hockey strategy game, the most hockey ever, officially licensed by the NHL. So much happening in Franchise Hockey Manager 4. We've got the new 2017-18 season with the Vegas Golden Knights. You can take them as they have been chosen, or you can redo the expansion draft your way. You've got every NHL season ever. Every single NHL franchise has a historical challenge that you can look to complete for achievements. And there are tons of gameplay improvements driven by the community. We have an amazing community in the Franchise Hockey Manager 4 world. So yes, once again, Franchise Hockey Manager 4 just announced it releases on October 6th. But if you pre-order today through Out of the Park Developments, you can get it early, 4 days early on October 2nd and 10% off. We're also really excited today to announce the Press Row Podcast strategic partnership with Gamer Saloon. Gamer Saloon is a place where you can go play games and you can win some money. You can play any game for any amount, any time, day or night. It is a completely customizable gaming for cash experience, and you can participate for as little or as much as you want to. And if you download their app today, that's the Gamer Saloon app, and you use the code PRESSROW, you will get a 50% bonus on your deposit. So if, like me, you go in and you put in $20, then you get an extra $10 for free. And they take PayPal, which is, of course, what I use for everything, or all major credit cards. It's very safe, it's very secure, and most of all, it's very fun. These guys have been around for more than a decade. They've awarded more than $45 million in cash. And everybody here in the Press Row community, we are in on Gamer Saloon. I'm going to be playing in tournaments with Pasta Padre, with TJ Lowerman, that's Sports Gamer, with Snaggle J, with Millennium, and I'm going to take all their money. I'm going to beat them at NBA Live. I'm going to beat them at NBA 2K. I'm going to beat them at Madden. I'm going to beat them at FIFA. I'm going to beat them at Pro Evo. I'm going to do all of that. I'm going to do all of that at Gamer Saloon. You can too. You can join us. You can do tournaments with your friends. You can play immediate one versus one matches with anybody in the community. There's all sorts of different ways to play, but ultimately it's how you want to play. You can play for as little or as much as you want to. All the games you love, anytime, day or night. It's Gamer Saloon. Go get the Gamer Saloon app, iOS or Android, or go to gamersaloon.com. Use the code PRESSROW. Get 50% bonus money on your deposit and help out the Press Row Podcast. Do what we do. We're going to be working with Gamer Saloon all fall this year. We're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about it. Join us, Gamer Saloon, code PRESSROW. Get a 50% bonus and go have some fun.
One of the most anticipated video games of the year, NBA 2K18, released to great fanfare, but quickly became embroiled in trouble and controversy. The extremely popular 2K franchise has faced something it hasn't in many years, if it ever even has before, a wave of negative publicity from not only mainstream gaming media, but YouTubers with massive followings, and many of the consumers who have supported the series up until now. Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre. We're going to talk about the growing effect VC has had on the NBA 2K franchise, how and why we've reached this point of heavy backlash, the ways in which 2K differs from other sports games and how monetization is implemented, and what can be done to turn things around in this episode. But first, we're going to welcome in the guests, and in the midst of this avalanche of sports game releases, find out where is all our time going right now. First up, Rich Grisham from Out of the Park Developments. Rich, what have you been playing lately? How have you been?
I've been great. It's great to talk to you. I'm very excited for the show and our extra special guest. I'm also, Brian, I've been traveling a lot, but I've also been playing some sports games. Yeah. And because of the travel, I've been waiting. I've been waiting until I knew I was going to have a couple, 2 or 3 days in a row at home with my Pro Evo 2018. Mm-hmm. I went through the process and I downloaded the official Premier League stuff. And I downloaded it first onto a hard drive and tried to upload it, and it didn't work. And then the second time I went to Games Radar, as a matter of fact, where I spent many years writing virtually all of their sports video game reviews. And they're all still up, which is cool, which just makes me traumatized whenever I read an old review, because I'm like, yeah, that was awful. That was terrible. That's a terribly written review. But anyway, I went there and followed like step by step, word by word instructions, including reformatting the hard drive to a FAT32 before downloading the information onto it and then uploading it via USB hard drive to the PS4. The second time worked beautifully, worked like a charm. Everything loaded. Took a little while. So what I did was I flipped on my Xbox One while my Pro Evo kits were loading. And through EA Access, I played a couple of games of FIFA 18. So yeah. That is something I have been playing. Because, again, I'm going to wait for a couple more days and settle into Pro Evo. FIFA 18 is a lot of fun, at least right off the bat. One of the very first thing that I did was I just went, I loaded that, I think Everton was my favorite club, or it knew that it was from my previous save. I think I named right. it. And then one of the options is just play the next game, which Everton was, I believe they have Burnley. I think it's Burnley. And I just jumped right into it. And I was really impressed by the fact that they knew that Umar Niasse had scored 2 goals in the previous week to save them. And they brought that up, like he was, in form, and they had all of like the up to date roster stuff right there. They had, Burnley lined up as the next club. And then when the game started, when the match started, I usually skip through it, but I sort of watch the introduction, where they have the players laid out on the field, and the animations and the players walking on was just really beautiful. And then it flashed up that Niasse was the man of the match the previous match, which was really cool. And then I played a great game. And I'm not good at FIFA, but I just played it straight up on professional. And Everton is not good this year, but Burnley is worse. And I wound up winning the game 1-0 off of a Niasse goal very late, like the 89th minute, off of a It bounced off the crossbar and he headed it in for a wild 1-0 victory, which was a lot of fun. So, And then I played another match after that against Liverpool, and it got ugly quickly and I lost 3-0. So, but I had fun. 2 games, EA Access. Thank you very much. Enjoying that. I've also been playing more NHL. That's my treadmill game right now, which is fun. NHL hasn't been on the treadmill rotation for a while. Again, I'm playing franchise. I'm playing the Edmonton Oilers. I think I've talked about it a little bit. They're a fun team to play as, and I'm really having a fun. It's very on the way the setting I play it on, though, it's very video gamey, very video gamey. And it's not even a criticism. It's very video gamey in the fact that I do the same 2 or 3 moves, and they work more often than they don't. Mm. And when the computer decides that it's going to score a goal, it scores a goal. It's like, I'm taking this puck and I'm going to cycle it down low, and then I'm going to put a guy in front of the goal and I'm going to pass it to him and he's going to score. And that's fine. A lot of my games are wild rides. It feels like 2 out of 3 of my games wind up being I get up by 3 goals, and then in the third period they make a furious comeback and I like win in overtime or win on a late goal. Or they get up by 3 goals very early, and then I got to fight all the way back, which I do more often than not, but I still lose. So those are the games I've either been loading or playing.
Yeah.
But they're all good. I'm having a blast with all of them.
So you don't have FIFA or 2K for Switch yet, do you?
Nope, not yet. I have FIFA ordered, pre-ordered.
Yeah.
So whenever it is officially released... And I'm not in the media, so I don't get this stuff early anymore. I gotta wait for it.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the standard edition, but yeah, there as of this moment, there are still no reviews for the Switch version of FIFA.
Oh, really?
Don't believe they sent out review code to anyone. I saw Kat Bailey mention that she got it today. This is Wednesday as we record. So maybe that's coming soon, but that's compared to FIFA and all the other systems, which have like 50 reviews already out.
Yeah.
So
I got a pre-order through Amazon Prime because my friend Brian Widai taught me that the only way to buy a new video game is through Amazon Prime because save money, $15, and you get it delivered to your door.
Or Best Buy Gamer Club now, which actually is turning out to be better because of Amazon's issues with sports games for some reason. Yes, unfortunately, but different story.
That's also, by the way, that's, remind me of that point when we talk about something a little later, because that's another reason.
All right. So we've also got with us in this episode special guest. He's been on the Press Row podcast before. It's Daniel Basil, a.k.a. Uber YouTuber, who's also an EA game changer. Daniel, how you been, man? Welcome back to the show. First time with me on it when I'm not, according to Rich, suspended. So thanks for coming on. What have you been playing lately? We've got so many sports games out. It's a ridiculous time of the year, of course. Curious to see where you're spending your time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me once again. Really enjoy the Press Row podcast. Longtime fan. Dream come true to be able to come onto the show. It has been an avalanche indeed. I mean, it's been just too much. It's just been too much. I've been playing a little bit of everything, really. And that's kind of what I did last year as well. I played everything as it came out, and then I kind of settled into what I enjoy the most, you know, certain games. And then, I enjoy them all, really, but there are certain games that just stick out to me that I want to spend more time in. So I got NBA 2K on the Nintendo Switch. I've been playing that. Yeah. Been playing that quite a bit on my lunch breaks and stuff. So it's a great sports game on a handheld device. I mean, it's really impressive what they were able to cram onto the Switch version of this game. I mean, virtually everything from the console. So I've been playing that. I started a season or my league on that and been enjoying that quite a bit. I've been playing a lot of NBA Live 18 as of late, mainly in the street, playing as my created character with friends, and been having a lot of fun with that. Also, Forza 7, the demo. Have you guys gotten a chance to play that?
You know, I downloaded it and I did one race. I'm glad you mentioned it because I'm a huge Forza fan. It was really good looking.
Same here.
Let me tell you, I have it for review. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you my first impression. It's a 96 gigabyte install, Rich.
Wow. Glad I got that 1 terabyte drive connected to my Xbox One.
I had to delete 3 games off my Xbox One to fit it.
Wow.
That's unreal. Well, the demo, I believe, is 17 gigs, and I know it's only has 3 races, maybe 3 cars, you know, 3 tracks. Mm-hmm. But I raced on the Nürburgring with the Nissan GTR, and it takes you through like the weather progression. So it starts out real overcast kind of day, and you start out the race, and then all of a sudden you start seeing some rain come down, and then you start seeing more rain come down, then you start seeing lightning and you know, a full-on thunderstorm and puddles forming on the racetrack and on the side in the grass. It visually is so super impressive. And then, you know, the sounds of it's just amazing. I noticed there's a helicopter in the air, and as you circle the track, you know, depending where the helicopter is, you'll hear it through your headphones, either in your right ear or left ear. And it's just little details like that I really love, you know. And like I said, visually, it's just amazing. I had a great time playing that demo, actually, today. I downloaded it yesterday, and I started playing that today. But I've been playing some PES as well, mainly Champions League. I'm a Borussia Dortmund fan, and they finally have Borussia Dortmund's rights. I think it started last year. So you got the authentic kits, and you have the authentic stadium, which is really awesome.
So good.
It's so good. So I've been playing PES, been playing some FIFA as well.
Wait.
Oh, too fast, huh?
Talk about PES, man. Talk to me. Like I told you, I'm waiting to settle in and play it. Am I going to like it as much, more, or less than last year's, which is probably my favorite game of all time?
I think you'll like it as much, at least as much. I would think
so. I'm good with that. I'll take that.
You know, I would think you would at least like it as much as last year. I know you enjoyed it quite a bit. I did as well. I think you probably spent more time on it than I did, but I spent quite a bit of time, and that was kind of my nighttime kind of fix. I'd get a couple matches in, and I love playing PES last year, and this year, once again, it's phenomenal. It is phenomenal.
So are you playing Master League, or are you playing whatever their ultimate, was it my team, what theirs is?
Yeah, is it my club, I believe?
That's probably right.
My club. I've been playing a bit of that. I streamed it a few times, and I've been playing that, and I do like that mode. It's just the one thing on PES, the menus. The menus are a bit cumbersome.
It's Japanese. You know,
that's true.
They pretend like they're English, but they're really Japanese menus with English words smashed on top of them.
Right. So to navigate is a bit tough, and the My Club is there's a lot to it. What I do like is you really don't have to spend money on the mode if you really don't want to, and you can compete, in my opinion. There's different ways to get players. You can get loan players. You can, you know, obviously you can open, they're not packs, but they have kind of this almost like a Wheel of Fortune type of animation where you pull players. But it's rather, I would say it's rather easy to get a decent squad on my club. And I've been playing a bit of that. Now I've been playing a lot of Champions League because I like the official, you know, the licenses and the overlays and the...
Yeah.
I really like that. So with my team, you know, there aren't that many Bundesliga teams on PES. I think there's three. You know, I think they lost Bayern Munich this year. But so Bundesliga, I haven't done the download for the kits and all that stuff yet. I need to
got
do that.
To.
I know. I got did it to. Last year, and my experience, I enjoyed it so much more once I did.
Yes. I don't want to have to go through what I had to go through. It literally stopped me from playing the game because, like I said, when I loaded up the kits, it's like, oh, this is going to be a while. Oh, I'll go play FIFA. That's literally the last thing that should have happened in that situation if I'm Konami. But, you know, that's okay. I'm still gonna play it. How good is Pulisic? How good is he?
Oh, he is going to be a superstar, in my opinion. Yeah, he is. He is. I've been enjoying actually playing with him quite a bit. Yeah, I in the real world too. He's gonna be an absolute superstar in my opinion.
I love that he plays there. That's so good.
I do too. I do too. Trust me, I do too. And Dortmund is an exciting team, so I'm lucky. You know that it is. I mean, I'm from Dortmund. That's my hometown. So nice. Born and raised. Yeah. So to have the authentic experience, the stadium and everything, it's just so much fun. So yeah, I've been playing that. Now with all these games coming out, NHL has kind of taken a back seat. NHL and FIFA have kind of taken a back seat for me.
Someone's got to give, right?
Yeah,
you can't play them all.
That's exactly right. But I mean, I do like them. My first impressions were positive, so I do want to revisit those at some point. But it's one of those things. There's just only so many hours in the day, you know.
Yeah, and we've discussed numerous times on the podcast about this release schedule and how it's pretty damaging to the sports game fans. You know, it's just you have to pick and choose, and it also, I think, ultimately hurts the potential for games to succeed because there's only so much money to go around, especially at the same time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah. I mean, I'm not buying them all yet. Right. Don't have to either because of some of the services available. But, you know, there's no reason to buy all of these right this second. You know,
that's
because,
right.
Like I said, you know, there's no way that we can play the amount that we want to.
And then with EA Access, you know, you by the time you might circle back around to some of these games, they may be on. Yeah, they may be in the vault. And then, you know, you're in luck right there.
Yep.
And you've only got 2 months until Black Friday sales. So.
That's true.
It's not too long a wait, and then you just have to prioritize your time, your money. It's not an easy time of the year for us. That 90%, it seems like, of the sports games all release within a 5-week period. But that's the way it works right now.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick break just to let you know that support for today's show comes from Audible. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, and business information providers. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books, so you can access them anytime, anywhere from almost any device, including your iPhone, iPad, Android, Amazon Fire tablets, or Windows Phone. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. They have an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, incredible performances. Transform your commute and ride with Audible. I drive all the time. I commute a lot back and forth. For in 1 hour each way trips. So Audible is great. I heard a fantastic book. It is Satchel, The Life and Times of an American Legend. I got it through Audible. It's written by Larry Tyne. It's narrated by Dominic Hoffman. And it's fantastic. Satchel Paige is a fascinating, fascinating character. And that's a book that I would recommend that you go check out. And if you today go to www.audible.com/pressrow, you can get a free audiobook with a 30-day trial. It's fantastic, and it helps support the Press Row podcast. We would not be able to do what we do without great support from you guys, the listeners, and this is another way to do it. That's www.audible.com/pressrow PRESSROW for a free audiobook with your 30-day trial. Check it out. You got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. Audible is a terrific service, and I'm really excited that they're the sponsor of this week's episode.
All right. So we covered the topic of VC during the review roundtable episode last week, but since then it's grown into even a bigger story. It's now reached the mainstream, which is a rarity given the way sports games generally aren't covered in the same way other AAA video games are. We've got big media websites. We've got YouTubers, some of them that don't even play sports games, but they're talking about 2K18's microtransactions. We've got review bombing by consumers on Metacritic and Steam. So this isn't something that's going away, and the 2K series is going to be scrutinized more heavily for this going forward. So since Rich and I already hit on some thoughts last week, Uber, start us off with just your kind of take on this whole situation.
Yes. So from a consumer standpoint, you know, I have 2K. I played the Prelude. I created my character, and I actually bought the super duper mega super duper mega mortgage your house bundle.
$150.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because every year, you know, I either play my player or I play my team, and I figured the VC is going to come in handy. So I'll do it now. I'll spend now, and I'll have some VC to spend on my player. And this year, I really wanted to go heavy onto the my player.
Well, you're also making an investment, right? Because this is part of what you do as well, right? So there's right. That aspect too.
100%. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I was going to make videos. Now, once I got the game, I dabbled a little bit on my team, and then when I wanted to circle back around to my player was gone.
Oh, you're one of the people who lost him.
Yes, I am.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I mean that if there's a solid way, like an obvious way to emphasize the presence of how much that VC matters, it's losing all your progress.
Yes. Now, I will say I was lucky enough to not have spent any VC on my player yet. So I was in the very early stages. Okay. However, it took a little bit of the excitement away from me. You know, it kind of getting like, now I'm going to have to start all over again with all the cutscenes and stuff. And I did. And, you know, I not being able to skip the cutscenes and then kind of watching what's happening on social media and, you know, people that were heavily affected. I mean, there are people that play my player exclusively. I mean, that's virtually the only video game they may play all year. Mm-hmm. And they wait for this game all year. They get their 250,000 VC, they pump it into their my player, and now they're having to try to get that back. I can't, you know, that's not good. Then, you know, the media jumped on and caught wind of it, I'm sure, and it's kind of been everywhere now. But it, for me, as a consumer, as a gamer, it took the wind out of its sails for me. And with all this other, with all the other games going on right now, I kind of just said, you know what, I'm gonna go spend my time elsewhere as of right now, because I can't trust it right now.
That's scary. Because right. it's not just time, but it's literally money.
It is exactly right. And I thought to myself, am I going to now create another player, go through the whole, you know, it's not just money, but also time, right? It's very time consuming to do that. And you know, you put a lot of effort and time into this player. You got to watch the cutscenes again that you've already watched. And now am I going to pump all this VC into this and then potentially lose my player again and then have to go through the whole, you know, support ticket and the whole, you know, I don't have time for that. So I just kind of put it on the back burner. So I could see how people are very disgruntled, you know?
Yes. Yes. And we've seen that manifest itself in many ways on social media and in user reviews and everything. Rich, talk to me about why you say you haven't purchased 2K18 yet.
So I will at some point buy NBA 2K18, but I haven't yet. And there's a few different reasons. One of them is that I couldn't get it on Amazon Prime, because if it had been there for available, I would have bought it. Mm-hmm. So right then and there, I absolutely would have gotten it day one had it been available through Amazon Prime, but it wasn't. Number two, again, as we've said, playing a bunch of games. Number three, traveling. Number four, I'm not feeling the NBA yet. Like, it was just in the last day or two, media day. The NBA 2K has more traditionally come out when basketball is a little bit more in the zeitgeist, right? Mm-hmm. And right now it's all football, and it's the last week of baseball before the playoffs, and the baseball playoffs are just spectacular, right? And so basketball is just not sort of on my mind yet. And so that's real. And just because I'm in no hurry, definitely the VC situation, I would not say has scared me off, because it hasn't, because the way that I'm going to play the game, I don't think it's going to impact me at all, because I'm going to do a franchise. That's how I like to play NBA 2K. So it's not even that scared me off. It's just, it's all of those things, right? So it's not like there's no sort of protest or, oh, I'm not buying NBA 2K this year happening. It's just by those circumstances, it hasn't happened. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to get it the minute that I really feel like it. But that might be in a few days. It might be a couple, two or three weeks, or I don't know, you know, but I'm not feeling there to jump on it right now. I just got so much other good stuff going on, and it hasn't been easy to get it the way that I get the rest of my sports games, which is through Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so my league, you mentioned the franchise mode. My league is really the one escape from VC in 2K, and it's been the one escape since after 2K14, when they tried to put VC everywhere, and because of server issues, we ended up with a game that was unplayable for weeks at a time, because it was essentially an always online game. It always had to be connected to the server, and so that was one way they course corrected after 2K14. But now we're seeing the sense from people that you really can't escape it. And it's not so much that that the idea of the company making money, right, Rich? I think everybody for the most part understands that's their number one goal. But it's the sense that the game is being designed now in a way to hamper the experience enough that you feel pressured or feel like it's necessary to pay. And this is the case if you play, like Daniel mentioned, the My Player, the My Career. You go through all the different ways to play with your My Player, as far as the story mode, the park online, the pro-am online. All that stuff involves your one player, which you have to pay for attributes, you have to pay for accessories, apparel, and other skills. So as someone who just plays franchise, Rich, I mean, that, I guess, wouldn't really affect you that much, right?
Well, it wouldn't affect me, but by no means does that mean that I don't pay close attention to everything happening, because of 1,000 different reasons, right? I find the entire thing fascinating. And I find it fascinating because it's not often that we get to sort of witness significant transformations happen in real time and realize it. And we all realize that games have changed so much so quickly. And what is so interesting to me is that 2K, the guys who make NBA 2K, 2K's 2K games, are owned by Take-Two Interactive. Take-Two Interactive is a wildly successful gaming publisher. And they're very, very smart. Strauss Zelnick, their CEO, has strategically positioned them amazingly in a turnaround over the last 5 years, recognizing what's valuable and what's not. So they are brilliant in reinventing the market to their own devices. And so this is who owns 2K. So there are clear messages being delivered from the very top as to what your game needs to do and who's making the call and how that gets handled and then translated ultimately to the game that we get to play is hopefully going to be a really interesting book or Netflix series a few years from now, because you know there's 100 different interesting things happening in it. The thing about it is that this NBA 2K makes a tremendous amount of money for a company that makes a tremendous amount of money that owns arguably the most valuable IP in video games in Grand Theft Auto, it's not the most valuable, but you could, you know, it could, you could make an argument for it. Minecraft, I think, is more valuable, at least, if not several other properties. So, you know, Grand Theft Auto is a phenomenon in what they've done with it, and not the phenomenon that it was with GTA 3 or GTA 4. They've reinvented Grand Theft Auto into Grand Theft Auto Online, which generates bazillions of dollars.
Yes.
For Take-Two, right? So that translates directly into NBA 2K. And what we're witnessing is just figuring out how to make it happen and how VC plays a part of it, because VC drives the bus. And what will – I mean, there's no real blueprint for this, you know, when it comes to this. There's blueprints for Ultimate Team because they were created by EA. But this is really just going in a completely different direction. And the consumers ultimately hold the cards and speak with their wallets. But again, what sort of lies underneath that is it doesn't take a tremendous amount of people to spend a tremendous amount of money to make a lot of money, right? That's, the whole whale concept.
That's the mobile, yeah.
Right. Whales, so,
absolutely.
You know, all of these things are fascinating to watch happen in motion. The cynical people say it's just all about making that money. They don't care. And the non-cynical people say, now, hold on a second. We know there's a lot of people at 2K that care about making a great basketball game. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. And again, to me, it would be a great Netflix series or a book because, you know, it's Grand Theft Auto. It's the NBA. It's television. It's social media. It's all of these things unfolding in real time. It's wild to watch. Hey, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our new strategic partner, Gamer Saloon. These guys have a really cool thing going on, and everybody here in the Press Rock community is excited. We're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff with them this fall. Gamer Saloon is a place where you can play any game for any amount of money, anytime, day or night. It's a completely customizable gaming for cash experience. So you can rally your friends and you can create tournaments, or you can play one versus anybody in the world. You can play in these team matches. It's completely customizable, and you can play for just a little bit of money, or you can put a little bit more money on the table if you want to. It's just completely a different way to play your games with your friends and to, hey, look, if you got big skills and you want to go out there and show them off, go for it. Or if you're like me, you're not really the greatest player in the world, but you really just want to take Pasta Padre's money or That Sports Gamer's money or Millennium's money and just sort of say, hey, guys, here's what's happened. You know, when I'm really on my game, I can beat you guys and I can win a little cash. But it's mostly just about having fun and bragging rights. And you can, as I said, you can play any game for any amount, anytime, day or night. And here's how you can help us at the Press Rock Podcast. Go download the Gamer Saloon app. It's on iOS and Google. Use the code PRESSROW. You'll get a 50% bonus. So if you put in, like me, $20, you'll get an extra $10. And you can play in these tournaments, just a few bucks per tournament if you want, or you can do individual challenges or all your own stuff. Again, it's completely customizable. But you get a 50% bonus on whatever you put in, and you're helping out the Press Row podcast do what we do so we can keep talking about all these great sports games that we love all year long. So go to Gamer Saloon. Get the app or go to the website. When you sign in, use the code PRESSROW. You get a 50% bonus. You can pay with any major credit card or, like me, with everything through PayPal. I use PayPal constantly. Gamer Saloon. PRESSROW is the code. Help us out. Help Dan out. Let's have some fun. We're going to be doing a lot of great stuff with Gamer Saloon this fall. All sorts of PRESSROW tournaments, streams, and all sorts of craziness. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to beat all the guys in the PRESSROW community. All of them. They have yet to see what I can do on that virtual field. Gamer Saloon, use the code PRESSROW, get some extra money, have some fun, join us, help out the PRESSROW podcast.
So, Daniel, as Rich brought up earlier, you know, this can be essentially an investment for you as far as the games and producing videos, which right. makes it a little easier to justify spending that money. But, you know, how do you see the games differ in this area? Because one thing we always point out is that the monetization of them is, in most sports games, in the EA games, and for the most part in the show and in a few others, is isolated to just a single mode. So it's Ultimate Team. EA doesn't do that stuff outside of Ultimate Team. Doesn't affect anywhere else in their games. In right. the show, it's mostly Diamond Dynasty. They do have the ability to purchase and earn outside in other areas, but it's not very prominent, and I don't get the sense that people really care. It doesn't affect the way you play if you just ignore it either way. But with 2K, it does. You feel the pressure from this on you throughout. So how do you see the way they differ in their approaches here?
Yeah, between the two basketball games we're talking here, sure. NBA, yeah.
That's the easiest way to compare if you want to go there.
For sure, yeah. Definitely a different approach. And honestly, I was surprised. I was very surprised. I was not surprised at, 2K with the VC because that's been here forever. But I was surprised at NBA Live's approach this year of really not pushing it a whole lot at all. I mean, you are not able to buy any upgrades for your created player with real cash. Mm-hmm. It's all just a leveling up system by playing the game. And, they have loot crates and things like that, but you earn them. You earn them through playing. And then I was also really surprised that Ultimate Team has not really been pushed very hard as far as on social media and really as a game mode in its own right. I mean, it's really... I thought that may be the game mode that would be the most prominent one in all of them of NBA Live in the very early stages of me, knowing that NBA Live 18 was going to be a real thing. But it turned out to be more focused on the street and created player. And I was really surprised that they didn't go that route. I'm happy about it. Very happy. It's made me enjoy the game a whole lot more. And going back to 2K, I have this mega bundle, the 250,000 VC, and I really want to play this game, NBA 2K, and I'm having to look, and I can already tell, even with a quarter million of this, invented currency, I am going to have a huge mountain to climb to really succeed in any of these game modes where VC is a thing. I can pick my team and 250K might get me a decent team, but I'm probably not going to be able to sustain it for the whole year and be able to get all the best players and have, a really successful and high caliber team. And the same goes for the my player. I just see myself having to plunk down a whole bunch more to make this like an enjoyable experience for myself. I mean, it all depends what you consider a success or enjoyable for you. But starting out as a really lowly rated player right off the bat, it's not very fun. So it just seems like such a huge mountain to climb, and yeah. That's that is kind of my main gripe with it, that everything revolves around this currency, really. And really, the game modes that I enjoy the most, revolve around this. And it's just it's like a battle I can't win. And I got to kind of pick my spots here and how I'm going to go. Now, I will say there is a kind of a hidden gem in the My Team mode itself in NBA 2K18. And it's called Pack and Playoffs. Have you guys?
It's the draft style mode, right?
Yes, yeah. And I believe it's free to. You don't have to spend any VC to join it. And you get five my team cards, and you can reveal two of them, of which you can then pick one player, and you basically compose a starting lineup, five players, point guard, shooting guard, all the traditional positions, and then you go into kind of a tournament, online tournament. Playing against other players, and you have to win, I believe, 4 out of 8 games to get to the next tier. So that's kind of a hidden gem, and I have been playing that quite a bit, and I haven't spent any VC or any other currency on that game mode, and I'm being able to play with some of the higher level my team cards in the game. So, there is that.
One of the questions that I want to ask you is, and you can see if you go there, but like you make videos. That's one of the things that you do, right? And so right. what are the games that you're making the videos on today? What gets the most people? What makes you happiest to play? Like what's happening with the videos you're making right now? So you've got over 40,000, maybe even 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. So you've got a clear audience that you recognize what they like and what they don't like. So right now, what do they like and what gets the most attention, and what also do you personally like to play in the videos, which is sometimes different than what you're playing just on your own time.
For sure. So really the most popular thing, and the thing that my channel was kind of where I found most success with, was NBA Life Mobile. And mainly pack openings. I do gameplays as well, and I kind of take the funny angle because I'm not very good at any of these games, but I do enjoy playing them. So I don't, I make fun of myself, but
respectable, man. That's respectable.
I have a hat that says "World's Okayest Gamer," so that's kind of. I'm just okay at all these games. I'm not great, but NBA Life Mobile for sure is the game that really sparked my channel. And pack openings are still number one. And if you look on YouTube, just across the board, NBA 2K18, my team, the pack openings and things like that are very, very popular, along with my career. But it's a lot of the things I feel like. The videos that get the most views on YouTube these days when it comes to sports games are things that are hard to obtain for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so you have a My Player that's maybe a 98 overall, for example, and that's just not – it's very hard to obtain for most people, So those are the things. Pack openings, huge bundle openings where you're – hundreds of dollars of packs that you're opening, those are the videos that are going to get the most views.
I wonder, as you say that, Rich, do you think there should be things about these games that are just unobtainable for the regular consumer? Just things like, you'll never get to play with this guy in this mode ever. You're just never going to get to do it because it's so rare, or it would cost you so much money. Like, I know it's not going to be a big deal to most people, but I just wonder, I see these things now, whether it's getting your player to a 99 overall, unless you dedicate your life to doing it, it's not going to happen, or dedicate all your money, it's not going to happen. Or like in the Ultimate Teams where, man, I wish I had that player, but he's impossible to get from packs, and I don't have the money to spend to buy him on a marketplace.
Yeah. Part of me says, well, it doesn't sound fair to a consumer. And part of me says, you know what? Sometimes it's interesting to create rare items. So, but I don't know. It depends on, I mean, the way that you word the question, Brian, is almost like, well, how could you possibly say yes? Should there be something that nobody can possibly ever get? Right. Well, no, the answer to that should be no.
Traditionally would games would have unlockables and things that were rare that you had to work for or whatever, but to the extent of, you'll see like a game promote a player or promote a feature, knowing that the vast majority of people are never going to get to take advantage of them or advantage of it. It's not some big issue I have. It's just something that popped in my mind right now.
Right.
It's a different, I guess, philosophy towards what you're enticing people with.
I mean, I think a lot of it depends upon your level of personal investment and care in it. Like some people, and Daniel brings up something that is interesting. Like, what gets sports game video viewers these days are Ultimate Team or card packs and wildly rare stuff. So it's, some people be like, oh, look how funny that is. This guy has this card. Okay, I'll watch this video for 2 minutes and then I'll move on to the next thing. Versus someone who's like, oh my gosh, I played 150 hours of this game. I can't get this thing, and this jerk has this card. I hate that, right?
Yeah. There's, hate watching, there's, of course.
So you don't want that. optimally, you're not designing your game to where there's anger surrounding it with your core fans. But it's easy to say and hard to actually build. It's not a cop-out to say that making these games is a very difficult thing. And again, we're in uncharted territory. And these games are much more like services than not, but yet they're annual releases. Brian, I'm not sure if you noticed, but a couple of studios closed this week. both of those studios made games that were single player games, not service based. One of them was The Chinese Room, which made one of my all time favorite games. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, just a beautiful experience that resonated with me. And another one is the, I forget the name of it, I'm sorry to those you know, who know it, the people who made the game. Now the name of the game is escaping me. I'll find it in a second. But it was a single player experience that that was not service based at all. And two studios closed that made sort of old school games. And so games now are very different. They have to be very different. And striking the balance is not easy. And finding your audience is not easy when you're changing the rules every single year. And so, again, it's fascinating to watch in action.
Let me ask you guys this. This is kind of what I've been stewing on a little bit. NBA 2K18, I feel like it's two games, really. And it's kind of separate. My player and the street and the, you know, the open world concept and all that is kind of almost starting to it's overtaking the NBA part of this game itself. I would like to play this game mode, the My Player. I would really like to play it, but I almost feel like on an annual release, it's really hard to do that. Especially if this is not the game that you're playing full time. I mean, if you want to spread the love around a little bit and you enjoy other sports games, I feel like it's an impossible mode for somebody to actually enjoy. Now, if this was like a standalone experience and a service, I personally would probably be on board with it more so than this annual release cycle where I just can never find myself putting enough time into this game mode to where I actually enjoy it. Yeah, How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, this was actually hitting on something I was going to bring up just right now, basically, was that isn't part of the problem that this isn't a GTA. This isn't a game that's going to last people years. It's a game that lasts people 6 to 12 months, and every year, even the people who spend hundreds of dollars building up their character, every year, people are starting over, Rich. People are starting from scratch. So is not some of the issue right now maybe this sense that we have to do this as a fan of the series? You're asking me to do this every year, start over from scratch, and you're making it harder on me every year.
Well, again, yes, there are people that feel that way. There are probably also people that don't feel that way, but it definitely is part of the equation. There's no doubt about it. And again, it comes down to balance. You know, we haven't talked yet at all about the quality of the game, but Brian, in your review, you were very enthusiastic about the actual basketball being played on the court.
Yeah, and that's right? Not what we're talking. This one, not what anybody's talking about right now.
That's right.
Sadly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, the studio, and my apologies for not remembering this off the top of my head. The studio is Volition, and the game was Agents of Mayhem. It came out last month. It was like a top 20 seller, and it doesn't have any services or additional purchases, just like a regular game studio. You know, had layoffs. Sorry, didn't close. Had layoffs. And that's just this week. But anyway, what it comes down to is that's the big ask here. It's not persistent. And the persistency is combined with the balance of the VC. Just it's a lot of questions, and it's difficult to get that balance right. And you know, we hear people, there are definitely people who have told me they don't have a problem with it too. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, so I don't want to say that people are all up in arms, but there are plenty of people that are. But I've had plenty of people that say that no, they're cool with how they get their VC and don't have as much of a problem with it as well.
Okay, so tell me whether you agree with this. So I think one of the issues here is that people are seeing now, or it's becoming more evident, the manner in which that the actual design of the game has been influenced by the monetization. So this is straight out of the article I wrote this week on Pasta Padre. about all this, and I'll just read it directly from that. I said, if 2K only cared about creating a compelling and fun career mode, they wouldn't start players at 60 overall where they're lucky to even make layups. They do that because it pressures people into making their character fun to use by paying to get them to that place. If 2K only cared about balanced competition, they wouldn't put low-rated characters into online games against people who have maxed out by paying their characters. They do that to create situations where you have to pay to even compete online. And if 2K cared about a realistic experience, they wouldn't pool together VC to be used on both attributes and cosmetic items or across multiple modes. They do that to create conflicts that are more easily resolved by spending money. So this is where I see things going. Has 2K lost sight of what the game should be, which is a fun, authentic NBA experience?
Nope.
Because of this? You don't think so?
No, I'm not saying that I'm agreeing with everything that they're doing, but they haven't lost sight of it. If they have lost sight of it, then they wouldn't have, you know, all of the improved gameplay, right? And by all parties that I've spoken to, really, really, really improved gameplay in multiple areas. So, no, I don't just say that out of hand at all.
All right. So, why has this become such a big story this year when we've had VC in the game since 2K13? It's been 5 years with VC. I guess that would have come out in 2012. So, yeah, it's been 5 years. And it's affected the game since then, but it's now just like the media and a wider range of YouTubers and influencers are discovering this now and recognizing it and writing about it and making videos about it. So I'm curious, Daniel, what do you see as the reason for this? Why is this becoming a story beyond just sports gamers, when for the most part the way it's being covered now are being done by outlets and personalities that typically don't pay attention even to sports games?
Right. I think this is just obviously just a guess. The reason why it's gotten so much attention this year is I believe YouTube and the way people or the way we consume content for sports games these days. I think last year, NBA 2K17, that was the year where I believe that was the most successful year for YouTubers, for sure. There was more YouTubers hitting 100,000 subscribers playing solely NBA 2K17 than ever before any other NBA game. I mean, there is now hundreds of YouTubers with a huge following. And I think once they all, you know, started making videos talking about the problems, I think, and then as well as social media, I think mainstream media is just quick to follow. You know, that's what's going to get views right now. That's what's getting clicks. I that's my theory. I'm not sure, but I do know there is more NBA 2K YouTubers, big YouTubers, than ever before, right now, and many of them are very angry at the game right now. So I think mainstream media just picked up on that, possibly. Mm-hmm. You know,
what do you think, Rich? Why is this a bigger deal this year than the last few years?
I don't know. Is it, Brian? And I'm not trying to be flip, right? Like, so who's really? I mean, you and I and we. This it's a sports game topic, so obviously we talk about it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But where else has there really been that much mainstream coverage? I mean, I think I saw Kotaku did a piece.
There's one. Game Informer. Then you've got YouTubers like Jim Sterling. You got YouTubers like Boogie.
Yeah, and Jim Sterling.
Chris.
Oh,
Smooth.
Boogie?
What?
I didn't know Boogie did one about NBA 2K. He's never done anything about a sports game. Yeah, he did NBA 2K.
He introduced that segment with, "I don't know much about the game. I don't play the game." And went in to talk about its microtransactions. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, right. So then that just tells you right then and there, clearly, with people who are looking to make a living, NBA 2K is a great thing to talk about to get people to watch and listen.
Well, isn't 100%. That the case with every kind of major release? Although it hasn't been the case with sports games.
No.
This is something we've hit on before, too, which is that you know, NBA 2K is going to sell 8 million copies, but it's not covered in the same way that a AAA game that sells 3 million copies does that's in a different genre.
Well, I think that's because most whatever major media outlets there even are right now are so different than they were 5 and 10 years ago. They don't have staffs. You know, they got a few people at the most trying to make sense of the ridiculously huge, you know, $20 billion video game market. We're talking about a glut of sports games. The other shows that I listen to that aren't sports game podcasts, which is all of them because no one else does it but us, is there everyone's talking about there's too many good games out right now across the board, and there are, right? So there's just they don't have there's not enough revenue in major media video game outlets to justify somebody who's going to be able to speak coherently about sports, with a couple of exceptions. Obviously, Cat Bailey and US Gamer. Cat is as good as anybody out there, so that's great. And good for her, because, you know, US Gamer is not the kind of site otherwise that would cover sports games, right? It's a very different and very good site. But, you know, they're a little bit more retro and I think Japanese looking and RPG focused. But anyway, Kat does an amazing job with sports over there. But there's really, you know, there's just not enough people that would even be able to speak coherently about it. And I, trust me, I get it. I mean, these games are huge and deep and complex and massive. So, you know, people want to avoid looking bad, and it's easy to look bad if you, you know, raise your voice and talk about something that you don't really know that much about. So I think that's the biggest thing. But I, you know, this is not the first time that NBA 2K has had, you know, bad press. It's just not. And they seem to weather it and get better. And ultimately, I think there's just enough people who play the game who just play the game and don't have the issues that the, you know, that do impact a lot of people, but also don't impact people too.
Let me give another, another reason why I think it was easy. 2K made it easy, for people to jump on it this year because of some more of the more absurd examples that are easy to lay out to an audience. So for example, the hairstyles that cost up to 1,500 VC to purchase that you can't preview on your character and that you lose if you buy another hairstyle. Once you bought a hairstyle, the ones you previously bought, they're gone. You have to buy it again if you want that.
Again, is that just like a bug? Is that not already fixed?
That's intentional.
That's ultra realistic, because if you think about it, you get your haircut done and you can't, you know, I mean,
it's true.
I saw some analysis on real world prices level. If you were going by the value of VC for these characters, and it's like an $80,000 haircut. So I think it was just something that's also easy to point at like that. Now, 2K has, in response to some of these things, they dropped the price on the hairstyles and the facial hair because, again, I think that was they made it way too easy for people to say, wow, look at this. This is an example of everything else going on in the game.
They fixed it.
Yeah. Well, fix it. They still charge you for it. You still can't preview. You still lose it. If you create a new character, everything you spent your VC on, everything you earned, everything you spent money on is gone also. So there's a lot of reason why people look in and say it's kind of a sleazy changes. This was not the case in the past. You didn't have to pay for hairstyles. You could preview them. You didn't have to pay for facial hair and you could preview them. You didn't lose them. And if you created a new character, you could carry over everything you had earned before. So these are all differences from last year. But in another area, I wonder, Rich, why are consumers, so not just the media, but why are consumers acting out this year in a way they haven't before? So Metacritic scores, user scores, these are not reliable, but I'm going to tell you why it matters. Metacritic user scores, 1.9 out of 10 on PS4, 1.5 out of 10 on Xbox One. This is unusual. This is not just every year people downrate the game. The past few years of NBA 2Ks have had user scores in the mid-sixes. Again, not great scores, but what you had was people giving the game 1 for whatever reason, but that being balanced out by people giving the game 10s. You're not getting those 10s this year. You're just getting 1s. 1.9s and 1.5s are absurdly low. And then also on Steam, where the game generally gets mixed reviews, This year, it's mostly negative, and that's all from people who purchased the game. It's not just random people going on and bombing it. So, Rich, why are consumers making a bigger deal of it this year?
Well, they may be or they may not be. I mean, review bombing on Metacritic and Steam is a known tactic of many different groups of people to make many different kinds of statements. So I don't put any stock into that necessarily. I think what we're seeing is viral, and again, based upon, you know, SEO basically. I mean, consumers don't necessarily care about that, but my point is, you know, the more these things sort of get into the discussion, the more they build on themselves. And again, part of what can be fascinating in the world that we're in now is what has the most impact, positive or negative. You know, you look at what's really popular right now. How did it become popular? Very differently than it used to be before. You look at PUBG. How did that become popular? Through Twitch streaming. This is a game that couldn't even exist 5 years ago, much less 10 years ago. And when I say that, meaning like releasing in something called early access and people still being able to buy it and play it and tens of millions playing in numbers that are staggering, never would have happened before. So what is the impact of the, and I don't have any numbers, right? So you say that there's more, there could be more, there could be the same, there could be less. What is the impact on whatever, you know, consumer issues that are raised via the user reviews or through making YouTube videos or social media, Twitter, Facebook? You know, will it have an impact? Will it not have an impact? You know, will they feel it? Who knows? It remains to be seen. You know, without numbers, it's all just, you know, it's all just hearsay, basically.
Well, so Daniel,
yes.
You know, like none of us would say this is going to create, you know, NBA 2K18 is going to bomb because of it. It's not. It's a guaranteed massive hit. It's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars on digital revenue, regardless of the way people are reacting right now. But do you see this as a potential, I don't want to say threat, but something, you know, that's going to creep into your mind or creep into people's minds when they buy the game next year or the year after or consider buying the game, that we have to see some changes made here to make the game more friendly for people? Now, we're not saying you take out VC, but maybe you fun becomes the primary objective and you still find ways to make money beside that.
Yes, for me personally, absolutely. And real quick to touch on the user reviews or my theory on that, the reason that it's so low, I mean, it all depends what game mode you play, right? So I have the Nintendo Switch version. I'm playing my league. Now, if I was to grade the game on my experience in this game mode, I'll give it a 9. I mean, it is phenomenal. Now, on PlayStation 4, I've only really dabbled with the My Player, and I got real discouraged. And, you know, you start out, you guys touched on it last week, you start out with 5 haircuts, none of which are really desirable.
No.
You start out with stats that are not desirable. So when you hop into My Player, it's not very fun if you don't have a bunch of VC to spend or 6 days off in a row where you're willing to put in a solid 100 hours to grind on your players. And I think to most people, that's not a whole lot of fun either. I mean, they want to get the end result of having an 88 overall player or whatnot, and a great hairstyle and cool sneakers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the road to getting there, I would think most people, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak for people, but I think this is the reason why you're seeing this really low score. The combination of people losing their players, having spent VC, and then just the grind. I mean, it's becoming a very steep mountain to climb. So, you know, it all depends what game modes you're playing, I guess. That's
yeah,
what
and 2K18 is clearly what 2K has marketed, is the career mode. It's the neighborhood and everything within it, as far as doing the story mode and playing online. That is what they promote the most now, Rich.
And that is what people play the most, right? So
it
that is
yeah,
really
absolutely.
What
is where they make their money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And if
again, if people are playing it, then it's clearly popular, right? Again, there's a lot of sentiment.
Well, wouldn't that be why people are maybe irritated, right? Because yes. they have enjoyed it before, and they know the potential of it.
I mean, look, some people would question, really, even the philosophy of having a $50 or $60 game and having any additional microtransactions whatsoever outside of the, you know, the loot boxing and ultimate team, right? So, like, but once you get past that, once you get it past that, then you're really just sort of opening up to anything. And again, I think also one of the things about this is, even with the negative sentiment, there's clearly a lot of really interesting things happening in this mode, because people wouldn't be talking about it if they weren't also seeing and hearing about people really mm-hmm. doing some amazing things. And that's also, I think, a big part of the conversation is what you can do in this world is pretty new and hasn't been done before. And so further adding, salt to the mix, so to speak.
So, Rich, I want to talk about regular, reviews now, the Metacritic source. So the Metacritic for NBA 2K18 is well below 2K17 and 2K16. It's primarily because of a handful of outlets that downrated the game because of its microtransactions and that heavy nature behind it. And I wanted to discuss a little bit kind of the philosophy on reviews. You've done hundreds of reviews before. Mm. So when I reviewed, and I've had questions about this, and I've responded, I even posted on NeoGAF about it. When I reviewed NBA 2K18, I gave it a 9. I said, it plays brilliantly. It's got it's still the deepest sports game as far as feature set and content out there. But I did have a section talking about the VC and its influence on the game. Now, I did not have that factor into the score at all. My approach to that was that we've seen over the years that consumers are either indifferent towards it or they accept it.
Yeah.
So how am I, as if the masses feel that way, how am I to say that they're wrong? So I've put in, a few paragraphs on the VC and how I thought it maybe damages the game in some ways or it influences the games the way it's designed. But I did not factor it into the score. But we've also seen, I've seen one website that's on Metacritic give the game a 3. And it basically because of the VC, and that's pretty much the only reason, because to them, it affected the game in such a way that they couldn't enjoy it. So if you were looking at reviewing an NBA 2K18 or a game that's microtransaction heavy but isn't a free-to-play game, would you consider the way that that's implemented into a score? Or is that something you leave out to the consumers to decide? Which is kind of what I did this year, but I think I would have to change that. Next year, I would have to evaluate it more and consider that in a score based on maybe the way people feel about it now.
Reviewing this game is impossible. There's no way to review this game. The only way to review NBA 2K18 is probably to do 10 different reviews about each of the modes on its own.
Yeah.
And I've reviewed NBA 2K half a dozen times easily, if not 10. I don't even know. Man, it's so big, it's so deep, it's so complex. I think it'd be hard to review NBA 2K this year without factoring in the VC. But again, this is so different. It didn't used to be this way, Brian. These games are changing, and yes. It's so hard to figure out how to accurately communicate it. Mm-hmm. I hear Daniel sounding defensive. He's like, well, I actually like the game. Like, what I played, it's fun. There's no need to be defensive
It is phenomenal. The game is phenomenal. I feel for you guys that have to review it because, like I just touched on, the Nintendo Switch version, for what I play on the Switch, mm-hmm. like, I would give it a 9. It's maybe a 9.5. It's phenomenal. It's so great. And then my only experience I've had on the PlayStation 4 has not been phenomenal. So, and how do you That's why I just feel like it's two games in one, three games in one, you know, really.
But the other part of it is timing, right? You, Brian, and I, when I would do the reviews, like it or not, you want to get your review out as close to release day as possible. And Brian, you've always been really good at saying, okay, look, I'm going to do the review, but I'm going to wait to see what happens the first few days online. Is it a disaster? Is it not?
That's something important to monitor at the very least. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Right. So, reviewing the game overall, it's so hard to not factor it in because of how many different modes it does play a role. That's the difference between, I think, Madden or NHL. You can clearly define Ultimate Team is this thing and the rest of the game is that thing. And that's the biggest difference, and that makes the review challenging. And Brian, I would not fault you at all for not doing a review for a week or two after you got the game easily. But on the other hand, I totally get how you want to be able to tell people when they have the first opportunity to buy the game what you think about it. So some of these things only unveil themselves over time, good or bad, right? And that's the biggest challenge that I think you have.
Yep, absolutely. And it only gets more difficult as we go. So,
But on the other hand, Brian, though, isn't the fact that we live in a very different world, doesn't it actually give you more opportunities to visit it, right? Because you don't have to have, not producing a magazine that gets printed and delivered.
Yeah.
Like you can have 30 different pieces about the game. Here's what I did before because I got the early review code, and here's what it is today, and revisiting a week later and 2 weeks later, like that's also that's part of this puzzle too. Not part of the review puzzle, at least, but at least you have the ability to sort of track when things are going great and when things might not be going great differently than others. Although the Metacritic, which is a metric that a lot of people still look at, the Metacritic is that moment in time. And that's very, in a way, very archaic, considering how the games are now. Very archaic.
True. Daniel, I was just going to say, is there like one thing or a couple things that 2K could do, you think, in the short term that would make the game more inviting, something that you'd want to go to more often than you are now?
I want to say yes, but I don't have the answer. My main gripe, honestly, I really have no gripe with spending VC on player upgrades or spending it on packs for my team or any of that. My main gripe right now is really the starting point. It's just not very fun to start out your My Player, in my opinion, in the beginning as a 60 overall rated guy. And I feel like you really can't take advantage of all the modes within the My Player game right off the bat. Because, you want to play online. I mean, that's what I enjoy doing, playing with other people, playing with friends online. And if you just take the game out of the box and pop it in and you go onto a street court and play against other players online as a 60 rated overall player, you are going to come out of it rather irate.
But it's funny. And this thought just occurred to me, right? Like we've all seen Breaking Madden, the series that was done. There's got to be something, and who knows, there's probably people doing it already. There's got to be something to be like, you know what? I'm going to take my 60 rated My Player and I'm going to go play some NBA 2K and I'm going to stream it. And you're just going to see me just get crushed, right? There's got to be that.
You're giving me ideas, Rich. This actually would make for a pretty good video. But in all seriousness, there is not a lot of appeal for people that are truly not into spending VC and wanting to play this game. I feel like the starting point needs to be raised a little bit, or they need to do like a beginner level where you play with other players that are in your range or something like that. Like I said, I don't really have the answer, but all I know is it's not a whole lot of fun when you get in there with a terrible player, and it just feels like such an uphill battle, you know.
Yep. I think that's a big point of contention there. It's something that they could easily do to make it more fun at the outset, and also they could right now simply up the amount of VC that they distribute for the time you spend playing the game, which would reduce a little pressure on people.
Good point.
Go ahead.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, that may be one way, and that one may be the easiest and quickest fix of them all, and that would probably make people happy in the short term, you know?
Yeah, I think that'd be a positive gesture. So we'll see what they do. They've already responded a little bit by dropping the price of the haircuts, but there's some more they can do. They haven't really commented on it beyond that. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments. Thank you for coming on for this episode. Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber on YouTube, of course, and also on Twitter. Thank you. We'll have you back on when we have something more more exciting to talk about, something that's more enjoyable, a more positive story that's going on, or simply something we're having fun with in the future. We appreciate your insight and you taking the time to come on to the episode, so thank you. And thank you to everyone out there who listened all the way through this episode as we continue to cover NBA 2K18, one of the biggest games of the year, and its stories surrounding release, and now we'll see where things go in the future. So thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another Press Row podcast. Take care until then.